Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you so much for joining the International Mastermind Association's Blog Talk Radio Show for a very special series on Napoleon Hill's Your Right to Be Rich. You're joining us for part three of the series. Yes, we are already at part three. If you've joined us for the last 2 weeks, you have gotten some powerful information on really learning the starting point of all great achievements and how to use other people's power. In week one, we went through that definiteness of purpose in the Mastermind Alliance, some very powerful and key tools we shared on those calls. So if you did get a chance to tune in or check those out, then make sure you go back, right, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/masterminders and be able to find the links to those shows. They'll be right there on that home page. And then, of course, in our second week, as we went through how to overcome those seven basic fears and remove limitations. Yeah, because everybody has things that are holding them back in some way, shape, or form. So how to go through and get rid of that, and then how you can really benefit from the law of increasing returns and mastering salesmanship. Yes, to make sure that you are getting the benefits and the most bang for your buck. And I'm your host, Havilah Malone, and I'm so excited to be able to be presenting you, along with our Mastermind Alliance guest, part three, which is on being able to develop leadership, being the calling card of great leaders. If we really want to be able to accomplish things in our lives, then that leadership is available or it is needed. And I know if you're on this call right now and you're listening to this broadcast, it's because you were born to lead. We're also going to be talking about the art of persuasion, like how do you get the things that you really want in life and how do you do that easily and effortlessly? And then how to master this plagues a lot of people now, indecision and procrastination. Yes, you know that I'm going to do it one day. I'm going to get around to it. Well, let's make that one day today. So we'll be looking at those three principles in our part three of the series on personal initiative, the positive mental attitude, and self-discipline. So thanks so much for joining us. And I want to introduce to you our amazing Mastermind Alliance guest who we have on the call today, and none other than the founder of the International Mastermind Association, Ms. Ann McNeil, who is really just a powerhouse. You know, she's an IMA founder, she's a speaker, she's a coach, she's an author, she runs several extremely successful companies, and she has been featured in Black Enterprise and USA Today and has appeared on ABC's World News. She is making some waves and really helping people to be able to master those small business skills and be able to move forward in the areas of personal development and growth. So we are so excited and privileged to have Ms. Ann McNeil on the call today. And then we also have, you know, one of our, you know, show favorites, Ms. Sandra Richardson, who is an inspirational growth instructor, and she's with a Rich Consulting firm, and she is all about, you know, helping people to understand, like, not only how to pay it forward, but how to benefit within their own lives. And, you know, she uses those Mastermind Alliance skills to be able to, you know, crush records, you know, not only in corporations that she has led in the past, but also in her own organization now where she's helping people on a day-to-day basis. And so we're so excited to have Ms. Sandra Richardson, and then also a young lady who is near and dear to my heart because of the work that she's doing with our youth and our future leaders is Ms. Hillary Vargas. She is the founder of Ms. Hillary's Kids Foundation. She's a life coach, a motivational speaker, and an absolutely amazing youth mentor. And she's all about, you know, making sure and empowering our youth, and especially those who come from, you know, backgrounds that have been challenged in some way, shape, or form, and really being able to inspire them and also work with entrepreneurs and leaders to be able to pay it forward in the lives of those youth while also benefiting from in themselves and building self-confidence and forming that family unity and togetherness. So she's just doing some great things out in our community, and we're so excited to have each and every one of these ladies on our call today. And, of course, I'm your host for this series, Havilah Malone, being the success coach and television host, and love working with individuals to help them to get mastery of their own mind so that we can implement these principles in our lives. So without any further ado, we're going to jump right in and get started and get you guys on the path to getting the information that you need to truly succeed in some big ways in your life. So welcome to the call, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We're so glad to have you on today. And we have some really great points and some great pieces that we're going to be working through or talking about and discussing on part three of the Your Right to Be Rich series. And this first principle, which has really helped us to be able to develop that leadership, is that of personal initiative. And when we talk about personal initiative and through Napoleon Hill, for those of you who, you know, are familiar with Napoleon Hill, fantastic. For those of you who maybe this is you're joining this call and this is your first time even being familiar with Napoleon Hill, but he set out on a 20-year journey to be able to develop a success philosophy, a philosophy that when implemented would yield massive results. And he came into close association with some of the most successful people of his time. And he actually took the time over those 20 years to interview 500 of the most successful people, including like Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, Andrew Carnegie, and Theodore Roosevelt. So all of these people who have really shaped American history and really world history through their inventions and their accomplishments and the things that they have done. So he was able to pick their brains and get all of the keys and jewels and things that were necessary to achieve success. And so that's what we're doing in this series, is bringing you those keys and tools so that you can implement them in your life. And so the one that we're talking about right now and the one that helps with that development of great leadership is personal initiative, which of the 17 principles that Napoleon Hill has outlined is actually the dynamo. This is the one that starts all physical action. It's the action-producing principle of the philosophy. And it doesn't matter where you are in your life, you can start with whatever you have and begin right where you are and using that principle and using that personal initiative. So I'd love for, you know, you ladies to be able to share, you know, how that personal initiative has not only helped you in your lives and what you've been able to accomplish through use of that and how that's really helped develop those leadership skills, because each and every one of the ladies who are on the call today are leaders. So please share.
Well, thank you, Havila. This is Ann. I can go ahead and start first. Just going back to a story that I shared previously as far as my journey within the book, Think and Grow Rich. And just a repeat very briefly, on December 31st, 1979 at 9 p.m., I picked up this book and began to read it. And as I shared before, as I began to read the book began to read me. And I realized for the first time in my adult life that I really had not found a definite major purpose in my life. So that night, I realized that I needed to find one in my purpose. And remember now, this is 1979, a very long time ago, but my purpose at that time was to save $1,000. And so I had to develop over a long period of time the personal initiative and become a self-starter as related to identifying ways and means to achieve that major purpose. And so when you talk about personal initiative and being a self-starter and starting right where you are, for all of our listeners, just think about what is your definite chief purpose and what kind of initiative do you need to take personally, yourself, not your spouse, not your children, you know, not your professor, not your employer, but what is it that you need to start doing to move toward that goal? And so those are just some thoughts as relate to my personal initiative, Havila, and the fact that I found that I needed to start with that exam and taking an exam to move toward entrepreneurship. And that's just a thought from me. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, and thank you for sharing that. And as you were, you know, making mention of that, it really helped me to think about times within even my life where it took that personal initiative. It took being a self-starter, to achieve the things that I wanted to. And it reminds me, and matter of fact, as we were talking with some of the kids, because they participate with some of the mentoring with them, it's Hillary's Kids Foundation and an amazing work that they're doing in the community. We were talking to the kids because I graduated from college when I was 19 years old, got out of high school at 16, out of college at 19. And it really, I was driven to get out of school. You know, I didn't feel like I was any, you know, smarter than anyone else or that I was some genius kid, but my definite major purpose at that time was to get out of school because I wanted to, like, be independent and I wanted to live my life and I wanted to be able to, you know, get out into the workforce and you know, start making things happen for myself, and I knew I needed to get through school to be able to do that. So it became a purpose and a driving force for me, and then I had to take initiative to figure out how I was going to go about doing it. So even for college, I ended up being able to test out of a whole lot of courses because I went and talked to the counselors and talked to individuals in the administration offices and asked them, you know, and asked for advice on how I could, you know, speed up this process. And they come to find out you can actually test out of classes. Like, you don't have to take certain classes, and so I found out every single one of the classes I can test out of, and I did that. And then even during the summertime, instead of, you know, taking the summers off and just chilling with my friends or, you know, doing whatever, I decided to stay in school so that I could get out, you know, when I did. So being able to finish college in those 3 years and getting out at the age of 19, which became like a huge, you know, accomplishment for me. So there's anything that someone has the desire to do and they have the motivation around it, then you can start wherever you are to be able to make those things happen. And I know that both you, Ms. Hillary, as well as Ms. Sandra, you know, have those same type of examples and things within your life or how you were able to step up for yourself or, you know, step up, you know, in some aspect of even leadership and take that initiative to get something accomplished. So please, you know, share with us how you were able to go about doing that and what that was.
Thank you, Havala. And I love that you brought up your example of graduating at 19, being driven till saying, I want to start my life, I want to do this. For me, really, with the initiative and the self-starter of starting the nonprofit, I started working in education. I started seeing things that I was like, I need to change this. And a lot of us sometimes have those thoughts, I want to make the change and I want to change this. But it takes the initiative to go ahead and actually implement it to make and to be the change. And one of the biggest things I did when I was, you know, I like Havala, similar story. Well, I had graduated at 23 and I had decided to, instead of taking a career that was a high paying job, I decided to do AmeriCorps, which my first year coming out of college, I made $10,000 and was on food stamps, which is not your typical route of a college student who just graduated with 3 degrees. But it was taking that initiative of knowing and implementing, like, my purpose, vision, and what I wanted to do. Within hours in that, I started realizing that there was a lack for mentorship. And I kept asking myself, well, what else can I do? What else can I do? And after doing a couple of research and talking to people, I just put forward starting the nonprofit at a very, you know, early age and just moving forward to start the mentorship program. And to see the success rate within the youth is absolutely phenomenal. And this is a topic that we talk a lot with the youth because a lot of the youth don't take the initiative. They want to, but they don't know sometimes how to. And so just like Havala had explained, and she's a huge influence on my students, is just asking and implementing and taking that drive to do it today, not tomorrow, not next year, not when I turn, you know, a certain age, but to do it today. You know, it goes back to the quote that says, if today was your last day, how would you live it? So it's really just implementing today your purpose. What are you going to do about it? You know, you can do research. There's nothing that is impossible for you to start today. And all it takes is just sitting 1 hour as soon as you're done listening to this radio show and saying, okay, this is my purpose, this is my dream, this is what I'm going to do today. And not waiting for anyone to give you the answers, not waiting for anyone to tell you what to do, but just you yourself and, you know, and I, right, taking the implementations of going ahead and running with it and doing it. And once you do that, everything kind of just falls into place. And then it's amazing how beautiful, you know, then you attract all the right people so that you can all take the initiative together, as we talked in the last show with the Mastermind Alliance, and then you can run together with a force and your dreams really do come true.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, it's so true that you will not achieve greatness waiting around for somebody to tell you what to do. If you are waiting for somebody to, like, you know, hand you the golden ticket or to come and, like, solve your problems or, you know, tell you what the next step is in the process, then you may be waiting with the other 98% of people in this world who are drifting and waiting for something to happen, as opposed to taking the personal initiative, stepping up, and like Tony Robbins says, assisting in your own rescue. When you, the taking personal initiative is the twin sister of going the extra mile. It's when you decide, this is what I want, and I'm going to take this one step. I'm going to do this one thing, and I'm going to do that one thing right now. And then all the other things that you need to do will unfold. They will develop. They will start to manifest themselves. They will come into, you know, resources will start to come to you, but you have to take that step first, because then all the forces of the universe and people who are around you will come to your assistance once they see you moving, and that's a sign of leadership. And we're going to go through some of the principles. There's actually 31 attributes of great leadership. We're going to go through some of those principles, but we want to hear from Sandra first, because you have been in, you know, leadership roles within, you know, Fortune 500 companies and, you know, done a lot with being able to not only activate and motivate yourself to move forward, but also in, you know, helping teams to move forward. So, you know, share with us a little bit about, you know, how important this personal initiative is and, you know, how you've been able to apply that. And as we're getting Ms. Sandra on the line, you know, we'll go through and talk about some of those attributes of leadership, those attributes that are needed. And, you know, even as Ms. Hillary talked about before, having that definite major purpose, like how important that is, like knowing, like having an objective in life, like knowing, like what is it that, and maybe you don't know, you know, what you want to do for your lifetime goal. Like, you know, if USA, you know, was honoring you, or, you know, the Nobel Peace Prize associated with honoring you for, like, a lifetime achievement, you may not know what that particular goal is, but what do you want to do this year? What do you want to do in the next 90 days? What do you want to do this month? You know, so getting a major or definite major purpose and understanding what those things are, even if you have to start small, will help you in developing that leadership. And then you can just start exactly where you are with that and with that definite major purpose.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Avila, for this opportunity. I guess I'll start with 1996 because that was always a pivotal year for me. I had my last kids that graduated from school. They were twins, and I found myself trying to figure out what I was going to do, and I always read a lot, but I was reading the wrong books in association with now what I needed to do with my life, my personal life, and a career, if you will. And so I started reading so many books, and what I found out over the years that I was actually asking the wrong question. And the wrong question was how. I kept looking for how. Although I was doing some things by then, gotten involved in working and was doing some things, I was still asking how. But then I got to a part of the reading of the Napoleon Hill and found out it wasn't really about how. It was more about when. And when I came to understand that it was about when and not how, then I had a paradigm shift in my head. Spent a lot of time with how. And as a result of when, I realized I had to take the initiative, take control of my life, stop worrying about how, because that really was not my job, was the how it was going to be done, but I didn't realize that for years. And so when I got that wrapped around my brain that it was the when, I began to grow. I began to take the initiative. And, of course, that meant that I had to have some faith, applied faith, had to take some action different than what I was taking relative to the how, because somebody can show you the how, and somebody can sit you down for a whole hour and show you the hows, but if you don't take no personal initiative or take any action, those hows really don't do you any good. And so that's one of the reasons why I can say I actually found myself working for that 500 Fortune company and done some great things over there. And so I implemented that too with my staff. It was always how. Everybody wanted to know how. Well, I knew that that was the wrong route because I had been through that. I had been through spending time with trying to figure out how. And I'd call them in my office and say, Ms. Richardson, how did you do this? We could be here all night with how. It's not about how. It's about you taking the personal initiative and the action to just step out there on faith, backed up by action, and go and work your plan to work it. That's what you have to do. And if you do that, the hows will take care of themselves. And that's exactly what happened with many of them on occasions. They actually saw that sort of thinking was the thinking that was really the way you ought to go about life, and not just with your work, but anything in your life where you see that initiative needed to be taken, you take the initiative, because only then you'll at least have your foot on the path to receiving the ends that you want, the results that you want. So personal initiative was very, when I learned it, it was very, very beneficial, very, very resourceful. Not only that, it gave me courage. I began to build courage after I would see the results of taking this personal initiative. And so the more you build courage, then that courage helps you what? To eliminate fears. It doesn't mean that the fear is not there, that it cannot surface, but that's exactly what courage is. It's courage is to actually stand up in the face of fear. And so that personal initiative just helped me develop or to learn more about one principle after another. In fact, it helps you with all of the other ones because now you have courage. You feel like, I can do all this now. I just have to have personal initiative. And so
absolutely,
that worked for me.
And thank you for sharing that, because that it is the action-producing principle of the formula. It's what helps all of the other principles to move forward through that initiative. And it reminded me of, for leaders who are people who are within organizations and you're over other individuals or in a management position in some form. Like, I can remember, one of the things that I would do with my team is, if you come to me with a problem, then awesome. Like, come to me with a problem, but I also want you to come to me with two solutions to that problem as well, two if not three, which also helped empower and instill in them to, instead of just coming up with an issue, but to think through it and think, okay, what are some of the solutions to that problem? And it helps them to take their own personal initiative to figure things out, because we do have the answers more than not to the problems that we have, and we have the solutions, but it's about taking that initiative to be able to get to them. And I want to run through some of we talked about those 31 attributes that Napoleon Hill breaks down of leadership. So that first one being a definite major purpose, and we went into that significantly in that first week. So definitely go to our main page on Blog Talk Radio for International Masterminders and check out the show from that first week. But also the second attribute is having an adequate motive. You have to be able to inspire that action. And there's those 9 or really 10 basic motives that Napoleon Hill breaks down that really help people to move forward. And we also talked about those motives on that first call. So if you're not familiar with them, then definitely go and check that out. And that third attribute of that leadership is having a mastermind alliance. which we talked about last week or in our second part. So if you want to achieve anything, or if you're aiming for anything above mediocrity, then you're going to have to get the assistance and the cooperation of others. So having a plan, having an objective, and getting that motive, and then using the specialized knowledge, the skills, and the tools from other individuals with that mastermind alliance. And so that it's a key, it's unavoidable, and it's necessary for success, and which is what the International Mastermind Association is all about helping people to not only create or be a part of a mastermind group so that you can help you get to the goals that you're looking to accomplish in your life. And then also self-reliance. That's the number four attribute to leadership, is really being like, how much, you know, actually how much do you have, and then how many you need help, you know? So just check that out, and your self-reliance is going to be in proportion to the nature of your major purpose. So everything ties back into that definite major purpose and why it's so important. But to get all 31 of those attributes for leadership, then check out the website. We have the information available and listed there at www.internationalmasterminders.com. And if you have any questions or, you know, you want more information on that in particular, then you can email info@internationalmasterminders.com. That's info@internationalmasterminders.com. You're listening to the International Mastermind Association's Blog Talk Radio Show, where we are discussing a very special six-part series on Napoleon Hill's Your Right to Be Rich. And we're so glad that you are joining us for part three of this series, as we're talking about the really important attributes of leadership as we're going through and discussing the art of persuasion, which is what we're about to, you know, jump into right now. And that's really around having a positive mental attitude. And, of course, we're here every week on Blog Talk Radio as a part of the six-week series, and a six-part series. So we are so glad and happy that you guys are tuning in right now and getting this information that is going to be so beneficial to you. So as we're talking about this positive mental attitude, like we always talk about, keep your mind on the things you want and off the things you don't want. And ladies, how sometimes, you know, without the training, without constantly getting that mental conditioning in place, how easy it is for your individuals to allow their minds to drift onto the negative things or the things that are not going right in their lives. But how important for you to be able to achieve the success that you want, to be able to keep your mind positive at all times. So, you know, please let's jump into this and talk about not only the importance of that positive mental attitude, but how we can go about creating that.
I think one of the most important things is is having affirmations. And, you know, positive words is so important to have that positive mindset. You know, it's one of the biggest things, because what your mind is doing is what you're attracting into your life. Now, naturally, things will happen, and it might cause you at that moment to think a little bit negative, but it's so important to redirect your thoughts, to redirect your energy, and be reflective of what thoughts are you coming through your mind, because it will transform into energy, and it's what you're going to be attracting. And one of the biggest things I advise everyone, if you haven't already, is definitely read Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, listening to all this series. One of the biggest important thing is the repetition in order to strive to always have a positive mindset. So like Napoleon Hill, you know, he talked about how he did this work for 20 years for Andrew Carnegie, and it took him 20 years to write the book. And so it also means implementation of study. So not just reading Think and Grow Rich once, or maybe listening to the series once, but you have the resources at your hands to reread it, to redo it. And every time you do that, it will help you, so that when obstacles happen or challenges happen, you can redirect your mind, the energy is redirected, and you can only attract into your world what you want and what your mind is striving to do, which would be positive outcomes.
Yes, absolutely. And for those, even for people who have heard of like the law of attraction, and how important your mental attitude is, how important your thoughts are, because it creates a cycle. And maybe you heard through the law of attraction how thoughts produce things. So there is a cycle that is created where your thoughts generate your attitude, and your attitude generates your thoughts. So if you have negative thoughts, you're going to generate a negative attitude, you're going to generate negative outcomes. If you have positive thoughts, then you're going to generate a positive attitude and then generate positive outcomes from that. So whether you're focused on any aspect of your life, the thoughts, your predominating thoughts around that aspect, whether it's around money, whether it's around relationships, whether it's around, you know, any aspect, your health, your body, any of those things, your thoughts are going to create the reality in which you live. And so it's so important to take mental note of your thoughts. And as Hillary made mention, that create positive affirmations around, you know, even money. Like, money comes to me easily and effortlessly on a consistent basis from multiple sources. You know, talk about the amount of money that you have and feel good about those things, because that positive mental attitude will magnetize those things to you and make it much easier for you to accomplish your goals when you are putting those tools into play. And I know you ladies have seen this even throughout your life. I know, Anne, you talk about the story of, you know, being able to, you know, get that that certification or get those things, and, you know, what had to be your mental attitude around it. Like, and what were the results? Like, was there a time when, you know, you were negative about it and getting some results that you didn't want, or a time that you were positive about it? So kind of, you know, share with us a little bit about that.
Well, Havila, I want to go back to one of the great philosophers that said, you know, our subconscious mind does not know the difference between what is true or false. It only knows what we tell it over and over again. And so with that thought in mind, when you think about a positive mental attitude, we really have to guard our own thoughts. And so for myself personally, and the story that I shared previously about studying to take the contractor's exam, I like to always go back to Napoleon Hill's Six Steps to Riches, when he asked the question, how much money do you want? You see, whatever the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve, according to Napoleon Hill. So for any amount of money you are desiring, we already attain within us the ability to achieve that exact amount of money. So for myself, going back to that night of December 31st, 1979, I said $1,000. And I came up with the plan after masterminding for a long period of time that getting the license to start a construction company could be one of the ways that I could make money. But when thinking about having a positive mental attitude as a part of that process, I had to constantly reaffirm on a daily basis, going back to Napoleon Hill suggesting that we should write an affirmation statement and read that statement to program our own thinking over and over again, and having the spirit, if you will, draw the resources. And so when you talk about that positive mental attitude, it is not always easy, if you will, but we have to be very careful to set our mind and our heart on exactly what we want to achieve. And so I think that that really starts with having a definite chief purpose that is written, that is clear, but also that is measurable, and you can find ways to be held accountable through your mastermind group. So those are just some thoughts about, for myself, how utilizing one of the principles espoused in the book entitled Positive Mental Attitude, it is really a self-programming of the mind.
Oh, definitely. When we talk about even that self-fulfilling prophecy, and the main reason why there's such a negativity is like it's so common. It's really the belief that like life is a struggle. And there's so many people who think that, you know, life is hard and it's full of problems, and that becomes a part of and really due in part to that like that problem solving culture, you know, that we have. Like it's all about let's solve the problems. Let's solve the problems as opposed to a positive mental attitude on that is let's take advantage of the opportunities. Or why don't we, you know, look for opportunities? That's a whole different mindset and will bring about a completely different result. And it's so true about that our thoughts will create the reality in which we live. And, you know, and a lot of times it's a generational cycle that has begun because parents are going to, you know, model for their children, you know, how life is and how you operate through life. And children will believe those things that the parents instill in them, which is why, you know, I'm such an advocate of, like, youth mentoring programs because you get to help, you know, children, help youth to be able to get a different perspective or a different view so they can create differently. You know, even Gandhi says, you know, change your mind, you'll change your world. And it's so true, and that's why this, the positive mental attitude philosophy around, and you may mention this, and what the mind can conceive and believe it can achieve, and that is so true, you know, because it's based off of our thoughts and then what our thoughts end up creating. I mean, literally, if you look out your window or if you look within, like, whatever room that you're sitting in right now, and there's a pen on your table or a cup on your table, that started in somebody's mind. It started as a thought. A lot of, like, physical ailments and things that people experience in their life, like, it comes from the attitude. It comes from the thoughts that we hold prevalent within ourselves, and it manifests physically. So it's so important for us to take control of our minds, take control of our thoughts, so that we can create the life that we want, as opposed to living in the drift like 98% of the world does. We can be a part of the 2% who has a very definite major, chief major purpose. They are creating the results that they want. And we're so glad that everyone who is tuned in right now to part 3 of our Your Right to Be Rich series, Napoleon Hill, as we're bringing you these principles every week, and we are going through right now that personal initiative, that positive mental attitude, and up next we'll be talking about the principle on self-discipline, so really how to master that indecision and the procrastination that holds us back sometimes from getting the results that we want. And if you want more information about the International Mastermind Association, as well as being able to get those 31 attributes of leadership that we talked about a little bit earlier in the show, you can visit us online at www.internationalmasterminders.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, at the International Masterminders, and stay up to date on information and posts and things that are going to be of use and helpful to you along your journey. And, of course, you want to join us each week as we're going through Napoleon Hill's Your Right to Be Rich. We're so excited to have our Mastermind Alliance guests on the line right now as we're about to jump into the principle on self-discipline. So if you can direct your thoughts and control your emotions, you can create the destiny of your own choosing. And that ties into that self-discipline. And Sandra, I would love for you to go in because I know that this is a principle that, you know, you have applied in, you know, so many different areas and aspects, you know, of your life and, you know, how our audience can benefit from, because a lot of times we do have, you know, that indecision or that procrastination that holds us back from, like, making a decision and moving forward towards something. So how this principle of self-discipline can help somebody from getting into that cycle.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. Self-discipline, I'm sorry, definitely was something that I had to apply in my life as not only as a mother and a wife, but also when it came to my health. You know, dealing with some things in my life that was very, very stressful, I got myself to a point where I developed some some disease in my life and realized that I had to do something about that and didn't know exactly. I knew what I had to do, but had issues with actually implementing what I knew. I was allowing my thinking, the negative thoughts, the fear, all of those things that Napoleon Hill expresses to us that can actually cripple us. Well, I actually felt like that's the direction that I was going, and it almost appeared to be hopeless to me that my fight was really was a hopeless fight because it looked like I was not really getting the results in my life that that I desired to have as I dealt with things around me in the home. And what happened was I went to the doctor, and the doctor had told me that, you know, if I didn't change some things, you know, the typical story the doctor tells you when your health is debilitating and going south, told me some things and that I needed to do. And I took the information with me. Again, I had the knowledge. I already knew what I had to do, but I still was dealing with these negative issues. This negative behavior in thinking, and I tried to figure out how I was going to actually implement those things. Well, this is a funny story, or it seems like it doesn't connect, but it did connect for me. I went to Atlanta about 6 or 7 years ago with this Napoleon Hill course, and attempted to take the course, and my course was really thwarted or deterred. Had to get back home to take care of some stuff, but I drove to, it was Atlanta. I drove to Atlanta. Then when I left, I had to drive back home, of course. But one of the instructors had told a story, and the story he told was a very familiar story about this wonderful individual, Mother Teresa. And he asked this story, he asked this question, he said, pretty much he shared the story, and he said, Mother Teresa had gotten a phone call. And the phone call was that will she come and march with them on a war, a march against war? And her answer was, no. And then you would wonder, well, why wouldn't she go and support something like that? That was, you know, that according to the title, might actually do some good, march against war. Nobody wants war. But her answer was no. She says, give me a call when you have a march for peace. And that was interesting because he went on to elaborate why she had that was her position on it. Well, it was about the power of words. It was about the power of words, and he taught a whole lot about that. And so on my way home, I was just so sleepy. I was doing some things that really I was like, I need to either pull on the road side of the road, or I need to go and get a hotel and get a little hotel and get some rest and then get back on the road. It wasn't that the ride itself was, because it was a ride I was accustomed to. I'd done it many times, but that particular time just didn't have the energy and the strength. And I said, well, wait a minute, let me apply some of this stuff that I just learned about the mind and how you can discipline, you know, how you can discipline your mind, or you can change your state of mind. You can do it in an instant. You can do it at the snap of your finger, really, that instant, you know, that quick. So I started trying to do that. So I said, okay, I kept telling myself, I said, don't go to sleep, don't go to sleep, don't go to sleep, don't go to sleep. But then it looked like I was getting sleepier. And so I started putting the windows down, had the wind blowing on me, I turned the radio on, I was trying to stay awake. But I was still getting sleepier. I said, no, wait a minute. I'm using the wrong word. I said, the subconscious mind was responding to sleep. I didn't realize that at the time until I thought about it more. So wait a minute, you're using the wrong word. You got to use another word. So I kept saying, awake, awake, awake. I kept saying that. And I kid you not, I became so alert that that blew my mind, and I began to understand the power of disciplining your mind about how powerful words are. And, I mean, words have actually won presidencies. You know, they have. And when I left that land, I had a whole new way of trying to discipline myself and get myself in a position with my health till I started telling myself, eat clean, eat green, instead of saying, don't eat this, you know, don't eat this, don't eat that, or, and it was, you know, no sugar, more sugar was coming. it's like, no this, no that. All the things that I didn't want were the things that was, I was like, I just felt so hopeless, like I couldn't do this. But then I started implementing that process, you know, that technique. Of disciplining your mind and association with the words that you put in your subconscious. And during that time, I became a vegetarian for 4 years just with that thinking, just with changing my thought process, just with self-discipline, disciplining myself with the words that I was choosing to tell myself, my subconscious. And to today, I know the power of that. And even today, I still implement that when I see that I'm going in the wrong direction. I make the adjustment, and that's what's so fascinating and powerful to me, that you can do it instantaneously if you learn, if you just learn that technique. And so, hey, for me, it's a powerful thing to be self-disciplined and to feed your mind the right words so you can, that thought of teaching of self-discipline can lead you to what you want.
Yeah, and that's so true around that. So that self-discipline is about conditioning your mind, being able to take control of your mind. Because if you don't direct your mind towards, you know, your major purpose or the things that you want to accomplish, then you're going to become subject to the whims of the masses. You know, to what, you know, you're seeing on television or what you're, you know, hearing, you know, in the water cooler, you know, gossip. Like, you become slave to those things if you're not taking control of your own mind. And of course, as you were mentioning around health, because your health is so important for every function of your life. And so when you are able to, you know, because that's part of the big four, that self-discipline helps you to take control of and move forward in. It's like your appetite for food and drink, your mental attitude, the use of your time, and the development of that major, the definite major purpose. So when you're able to take control of your mind, I'll tell you, I decided that, you know, I wanted to really turn, you know, my health around. I really wanted to get, you know, very physically fit, and I wanted to be able to eat foods that would feed my brain, really, because I was like, I want to be able to tap into all the potential that I have within me. And so I know that my health is a huge part of that piece, you know, of the puzzle. Yeah, you have your mental aspect, you have your physical aspect, you have your emotional aspect, and you have your spiritual aspect, but it's like your health and your physical body also affects all the rest of those aspects of you. And so when I decided, matter of fact, at the beginning of this year, I decided to go about eating in a paleo way of eating, you know, or clean eating. And in the beginning, it was about making a decision. Like, once I made the decision and then took the steps, so I did the research and, you know, I figured out, like, how do I go about eating this way? And then I built up enough adequate motive for myself because I saw the benefits that I can get from doing it. Then it was about taking action, like, and started making, you know, meals that were in line with that way of eating. And then doing it on a consistent basis built that habit. And then that habit, because at first I was like, oh, I'll just do this for, you know, like 30 days and I'll just see how it goes. But then when I was reaping the benefits of eating that way and seeing the results not only in my clothes, you know, but in the way that I felt and in my concentration and things like that, I was like, I want to continue doing this where it's not just, oh, a 30-day plan, but now it's a lifestyle for me. So it's about really having that self-discipline. Because there are plenty of people came around and was like, well, no, just try this or just eat this or, oh, you don't have to do that. And you'll have those people who come up into your life or who are trying to get you to go the way that they want you to go as opposed to you being able to stay true to whatever your goal is. And so having that self-discipline to stay on track and stay on point will help you to achieve the things that you want to in life. And I know you ladies as well have had, you know, similar experiences and are able to, you know, to share with our audience, you know, how that self-discipline has been able to help you, you know, through your journey.
Pamela, can I make a correction? I said 4 years. It was actually 4 months. So I just wanted to make that correction. When I, the vegetarian lifestyle, I did it for about 4 months. And briefly, I want to say I implemented this about a month ago where I went juicing for like 4 days and I lost 12 pounds. And that is not that I'm saying vegetarian is the only way that you go to eat. I'm just saying this decision I made and my health has improved so much in just a very short period of time. So, yes, self-discipline is very, very powerful.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. And 12 pounds, wow, go you.
Ooh, mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this question of self-discipline, I like to go back to the idea of having the goal of passing that exam and to think about the level of self-discipline I had to implement, because at the same time, I still continued to work every day my regular job, having 2 hours to drive to work and 2 hours to drive home, and then having to implement the level of self-discipline to study. So what I would do is I would come straight home from work. I would go to sleep as soon as I got home, eat a little something. I went straight to sleep. And I would sleep until midnight. And at midnight, my husband would wake me up, you know, set the alarm, make sure I got up. And I would study from about 1 a.m. until it was time to go to work in the next day. And so when you talk about having a definite chief purpose, you talk about having a mastermind group. When you talk about having the personal initiative and a positive mental attitude, self-discipline is where the rubber meets the road, because whatever it is that we claim we want to do, whatever that vision and that mission and that affirmation that we're stating, you must do the work. And oftentimes, the self-discipline is the work that we must do inside of ourselves. It's not really outside. It is the work that must be done in terms of disciplining ourselves to actually achieve that goal.
That's beautiful. Absolutely. And thank you for sharing that. And the Hillary as well, like how that self-discipline has helped and you know, and how you see that even working through the lives of the youth that you mentor.
Yes, absolutely. I really love self-discipline. Because especially for the youth, it's something that it's not the most easiest thing for them. You know, they're at the mindset where, you know, they get into the habits, the wrong habits. And when they come into the organization, you know, we're very strict in what, you know, certain things that they can do, certain things they're not. And I'm going to give a story of a young man who came into the organization. And at that point when he came in, he was in the wrong path of friends, which led him to a path of, like, smoking cigarettes and doing things that were not healthy for him and drinking. And, you know, he was really driven. He wanted something, but he just got into, like, this path of self-destruction. And when we had the conversation, one of the conversations that we had was self-discipline. Was self-discipline and making an implementation to go, and in order for him to fulfill his purpose, he had to take care of himself first. So it was really amazing because he started with cutting cigarettes completely, and he is already like a couple of months actually without smoking, and then he moved on to cutting other things. And every day, you know, also with keeping check with him and keeping him accountable is like, Miss Hillary, like, you have taught me to be self-worth, which was equivalent to self-discipline because I deserved it, because I wanted it. And I think self-discipline has to be a long-term commitment. I think of self-discipline as a marriage. So you can't divorce it, and you shouldn't divorce it, but it also shouldn't be temporary or short-term. Many times we start something, but we don't finish it, or we drop it off, and then we begin again. And one of the biggest aspects in, you know, Thinking Grow Rich and in Napoleon Hill philosophy is to always continue on the philosophy. It's, for example, like I like to read every day before I go to bed. I like to wake up and I have a ritual. And there's certain things I do that I do them every single day. And the day that I actually don't do it because something happened, I kind of fall back into old patterns. And so the self-discipline aspect is so important. And especially with the youth, because once you start self-discipline, you are an inspiration to others to follow. So such as the eating, I'm sure that people around you can see that and be like, wow, if Pavela can do it, if Sandra can do it, you know, then I can do it as well. And it's all implementation.
Absolutely. It's such a powerful principle and something that will yield benefits in every single aspect of your life is through that self-discipline. And really, even when we talk about, like, leadership and management, it's like when you can manage yourself, then that's when you're ready to start managing others. Like, it all starts with us, and then we can expand those things and be able to achieve really great results, you know, through doing that. So I definitely want to thank you ladies for your input on the principles that we were going through today on part three of your Right to Be Rich series with the International Mastermind Association. And for those of you who joined us today, I hope you found great benefit in the information that was presented. And you can join us every week. This is a six-part series on these principles within Napoleon Hill's Your Right to Be Rich. And, of course, next week we're going to be talking about, you know, how to move others to action and the power of habits. We talked a little bit about that today, and how to reach accurate decisions. So we'll be going through on part four, enthusiasm, controlled attention, and accurate thinking, right here on the International Mastermind Association's Blog Talk Radio Show. And ladies, just kind of in summary there, anything that you would like to, or jewel of information that you'd like to leave with our audience before we wrap up part three of the Your Right to Be Rich series?
I would just like to repeat something that I said earlier, and that is really something Napoleon Hill said, when that's the fact that, you know, whatever our mind can conceive and believe, you have the ability to achieve it.
So powerful and so true. Thank you so much, Ms. Ann.
I'd just like to say to the audience is, if you're ready for a change, to just step out on faith and apply action on with your faith. And don't listen to the negative talk or the negative energy that's around you, because all successful people have to make a decision at some point that if they want success, then they really do have to screen the individuals that they associate with. And if those individuals are working against or present material or whatever that's against your major or your definite purpose, then you kindly and humanely, you know, make a decision to be kind to them. But know in your mind that their thinking, their way of thinking, the things that they say and the things that they do, they're not synergistic with what you want. But you have to make that decision if you're going to continue to entertain negative thoughts and negative behavior.
Awesome. Yeah, that's so extremely important. Extremely important. And then definitely, and I want everybody to remember that at least, if you're not conditioning your mind daily, then someone else is. So you can have whatever it is that you set your mind to. Let's just stay focused on doing that. And we thank each and every one of our guests who is on the line today, Ms. Ann McNeil, Ms. Sandra Richardson, and Ms. Hillary Vargas. If you've missed any part of the series, then no worries. You can actually go to blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, and you can get caught up. Or you can visit us online at internationalmasterminders.com and get the information. And, of course, if you want to get those 31 attributes of leadership, then make sure you go to the website and get that information, or you can follow us on Facebook. And we look forward to speaking to you again next week. I'm your host, Tavla Malone, and you have a fantastic day.